Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back. You're on the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. As per usual, you have co-host Chris Kellum.
This is Tyler Yaw.
Hey, what's going on, guys? My name's Lucky. I do a bunch of stuff with video games and content creation, and I like to make videos.
This is a super special episode for us for multiple reasons. So first is Chris and I are on the same side of the table, which has never happened before in the history of Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast. And the other very special part of this too is Lucky is actually coming to us from all the way in Indiana. And it's going to be our very first remote interview that we've ever done before. And also, to go on top of all of the new stuff and brand new things that we're bringing to the podcast, the very first gamer we're having on board as well.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Nice to meet you guys. And it's got to be a little weird for you guys. I didn't know that it was the first time you were on the same side. It's like that couple that goes into the restaurant and sits on the same side of the booth. Like, where do I look? You know what I mean?
I don't understand how people do that.
I know, me either. Jennifer tried to do that a few times, my wife, and I was like, no, we sit on opposite sides of the table. I don't want to look to my left or right. I want to look straight ahead.
It's like one of those things that I used to be a server, but they like it's like weird for everybody because it's like, why are they, you know what I mean? Like, oh no, we got one of those couples that sit on the same side of the table. I don't know about this. You take them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can only imagine too. Be like, okay, it's gonna be an interesting surfing situation here.
Reaching over people. But before we get too deep into the conversation, this week we are bringing on something, kind of different.
Yeah.
It's we've sipped it way, way in the past. We didn't really go deep into it. Mm-hmm. It's the Evan Williams 1783. It's their small batch. So it's supposedly extra aged in white oak. That's a 90 proof. Supposedly on the nose, we should be getting our classic charred oak and caramel flavors with a light marshmallow, supposedly. Palate, you should get some vanilla, oak, toasted brown sugar, and some caramel swirls. Despite the fact that typically we spend way too much money on whiskey, this is a plastic bottle, so this is actually going to be our least expensive whiskey we've tried.
Yeah, this is actually one of the ones that always come up on the best bang for your buck, though.
Yeah.
Every time I research what's the best way to get the most for your whiskey for the least amount, this Evan Williams is always the one that comes up the most. And believe it or not, is one that gets used quite often as if you go to a very nice cocktail bar that still has a well liquor, this ends up being their well that I've noticed more times than not. Anyway.
Cheers.
Cheers. Lucky's drinking on some Angry Orchard, which is actually one of my favorite ciders.
It's a little bit less classy than what you guys are drinking, but I mean, it's refreshing. It's hot out there, so it's good.
Yeah. Gosh, I haven't had Angry Orchard in so long.
I got to say, most of the time with whiskey, I'm like hot or cold, like I'll have it and it'll be really good or it'll be really awful. And I feel like you really sold me on what you guys are having. Now I want to try it, but usually a plastic bottle would be like a red flag for me. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. I've looked into it and trust me, there are some really bad plastic bottles, but like Tyler said, this one definitely gets a lot of people like it, and it's not like super, super expensive. So it's a great thing to throw into your bar at the house. If you're like, well, I don't really drink whiskey, but every once in a while I need like a quick drink because my friends are coming or like you're throwing a party and need something.
Yeah. And it's complex enough too.
It was you said Evan Williams 1738. Is that what you said?
83. 1738
is
a song.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is.
I just didn't know.
You've heard that song.
Maybe.
I'm not going to do it because it'll just ruin everyone's day. It'll be sucking your ear.
This will become your least viewed podcast of all time. So,
right.
It's fine.
So enough about the whiskey. Lucky, tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do, why you do it, and kind of how you got involved in the gaming and content creating community.
Yeah. So again, I just want to say thanks for having me on here today. I was really excited, looking forward to it, but it's cool to have like a chance to kind of like tell your story a little bit. You know, I guess now I've been doing content creation full time for a little over 5 years. Right now I'm on Twitch and I'm on Kick, kind of go back and forth. I split my days just because Kick is kind of doing a lot for creators as far as like giving us a chance to kind of like monetize our content a little bit better, right? But I also do a lot of stuff on TikTok. I started out, when I first started streaming, I was actually working at like a call center in New Mexico, and I was doing that, and me and my buddies started a like kind of like a hobby shop. We had like comic books and trading cards and video games and stuff like that. So I was doing that, and then also working full time at this call center. And it's really funny to think back like how things started, because one day I used to play. You guys play like what games do you guys play?
Well, Tyler plays classic Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty is kind of my staple.
Don't worry,
shooter guy. You excited for the new one?
What's that? I'm sorry.
You excited for the new one?
Yeah, so I haven't really touched it for a while. And I saw that new one coming out, and I was like, I might have to get back into it again.
Yeah, that's how a lot of people feel. What about you?
I'm the big nerd over here. I play League of Legends, and I used to play World of Warcraft, but it destroyed one of my laptops.
Oh, no. Yeah, League is a tough game. But yeah. with Call of Duty, shooter guy, right? When I first started, I really only played Halo. I was a huge Halo guy. And so I always make this joke that I didn't own an Xbox. I owned like a Halo machine. Like that was the only game I owned. It was the only game I played. It was like the only game that existed for me. And so I used to play all the time. I was high ranked in my state at one point. I've been to a bunch of events and stuff. And me and my buddies, like we had that hobby shop and everything. And then Twitch started really like growing. This was in 2016. And one of my friends is actually the one who mentioned it. He said, you know, hey, you should like think about like trying out this streaming thing. Like maybe you stream to Twitch and like, you do pretty good. And like, maybe people would like watching you or whatever. So when I started out, I was streaming. I was like sitting on my bed or like on this like old, like little wooden chair.
Yeah.
One monitor. I was reading chat on my phone. I was streaming straight to Twitch from my Xbox, like real like the most basic setup that you could have. And I did that. And I started doing that. And I was like, I really do love this. Like, this is it for me. I think kind of like with what you guys are doing, you know, just getting to like meet people, right? Or like interact with people that you would never meet otherwise. And like kind of learn other people's stories. And like, just, it's like a different kind of interaction and stuff. And so I really started to enjoy it, but I wasn't big. Like, I think I would average anywhere from like 5 to 10, like if I had like over 10 viewers, that was like a banger day. That was like, I get off stream, I'm on like cloud 9. I had 15 viewers today. This is insane. And I did that for a while. That was in 2016. And then, I mean, have you guys ever heard of Mixer at all?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The short-lived.
A lot of people. Yeah, short-lived, really sad, but a lot of people never even like heard of it. And I remember I was streaming on Twitch one day, and I had this guy, he lives in Texas. I'd become friends with him online. I'd get off work and race home to go live for 2 or 3 hours before I had to go to bed and get up and do it again the next day. Mm-hmm. And we just play Halo. And one day I message him and I'm like, oh, you ready to play some games tonight, whatever? And he goes, yeah, but I'm going to be streaming on this thing called Beam. He's like, this new website that Microsoft is, or well, the Microsoft thing came later, but he's like, this new site that people have been talking about, and there's like no delay. And like, that was like a big deal. It was,
right. It
was like, I remember going and checking it out the first time, and you'd say something in chat and they would respond immediately. And at that time, Twitch was still like 30 to 60 second delay. So,
Oh wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. For somebody to respond to you like instantly was unheard of. It was like magic. And I remember that very first stream that he was on, somebody who was a big streamer on the platform, big streamer being like, you know, 75, 100 people or something, rated him. And I was just like, there's like this huge like community vibe and stuff. And I was like, this is super cool. And I was like, and the no delay thing blew my mind. So then that's whenever I switched over. That was at the end of 2016. I was on Mixer until the downfall, you know, the black day in 2020. And so I was just streaming every day, working my full-time job, trying to run this business with my friends. We're doing comic books and card games. You guys play like MTG or Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon, anything like that?
Not recently, but I have. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yes. I think MTG is the only one I never got into.
Really? That's really the only one that I even still like mess with. But yeah, we would host like tournaments and stuff. And then it started to get a little overwhelming because I had this business that I was trying to run. And then I had this passion that I was really like starting to like put more of myself into. And I was really loving it. And like, I wanted to be able to focus on it more than I also had a full-time job, life and friends and all this stuff. And so my friends actually ended up being the first ones to say, like, I think I want to do something else. Like, I like what we're doing here, but in New Mexico, where we were at specifically, there isn't like a lot of money. It's like kind of a smaller town. And it was really hard for us to kind of like break through that ceiling. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of just decided that like they wanted to do other things. I had this thing that I was trying to grow with. And so we just kind of like separated from the business and sold out everything. And then I was putting in more hours. I was kind of like doing full time at my job and then also streaming like 30 to 40 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
And it was getting to be a lot, but I was enjoying the grind, I guess you could say, you know, like the long hours felt like they were paying off. I was growing. I was like starting to get like a community and stuff. And then I remember one day I just hated my job, man. I was over it. Like I just couldn't do it anymore. I was really not excited. So I went on like I took my 2 week vacation that I had saved up. And I told my community, like, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to stream like I'm a full-time creator and we'll just like see what happens. And like, we'll just, you know, go from there. And they supported me a lot. And there was like a very good viewership and stuff like that. I had like, honestly, if you guys are listening to this and you end up and you're trying to like make it and go full-time with content and stuff, don't do what I did, because I didn't have any money saved, nothing. I literally, my 2 week vacation was almost up and I let my manager know, like, hey, I'm not coming back. And I finished out my vacation. I ended up like having to sell my car and I was walking everywhere. I would have to like walk to the grocery store or whatever. And like, that was like the sacrifice that I was willing to make in order to do it. And it was like tough for a while. And I was literally just making enough to like pay all my bills, pay for my food and have like a tiny bit of money left over. But like, for me, it felt like it was worth it because I was like getting to do something that didn't feel like work anymore. And that was in 2018. And so now I'm here and I'm still doing it full time. And now TikTok is like taking over the world. You know, TikTok wasn't even around.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
TikTok is honestly like, I think one of the main things that has like made it like possible, really, like the reach and like finding new people and expanding your community and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for it. And so I did get a little scared when we had that thing about like, oh, they're banning TikTok the United States is going away. And I was just like, man, if that happens, like I don't know what's going to happen, but I mean, I guess we're good right now. And so now I just doing TikTok and Twitch and Kick and trying to like kind of expand my skill set and stuff, you know, like trying to learn photography and videography and editing and just try and like be better, I guess, you know?
So with, I guess that so, being said too, we'll make this part of a plug as well for us is, so I know you also work with Sway Creations as well, just like we do.
So absolutely.
So I'm sure that helps you a lot too in the editing process and just being able to focus on the actual gaming and content creation side and letting them just, you know what, you take it, you deal with it, you work it out.
Absolutely, man. I can't, it's almost, cause I've been working with them for a few months now. And I remember before it was kind of a struggle trying to do everything, like all the full-time stuff. But then also it's like, you got to find time to record and edit and then also scheduling and putting your stuff out. And then like, honestly, Sway has like really given me so much more time back from like just taking over that part. Like I just record now, I make the content, I send it over to them, and then we've gotten in the 3 months that I've been working with them, millions of views on TikTok. And that's
nice.
Like the editing. Yeah.
I was actually just talking to Grace the other day, and she was like, all right, if you need any help on TikTok, we have that under control for you. So we know how to make stuff blow up on TikTok. And I was like, yeah, I will have to lean up on that.
Yo, absolutely. I think you guys like just posting your podcast stuff on TikTok would be, I mean, people love that. Like, you know, they're swiping and then you guys are just talking about something that they're interested in. They're going to watch that whole clip because they're like, what are these guys talking about? Like, I want to know, like, what's going on? I want to be part of the conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think you guys would do good on TikTok.
So I know one of my main questions is, how'd you get the name Lucky Shots?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
So it used to be, it hasn't always just been Lucky Shots, but when I started, like I said, you know, I did a lot of Halo and everything. Mm-hmm. And we would, I mean, if you were playing games back then, you might remember it, like LANs, like we would have all of our friends come over, they'd all bring over their TVs and their consoles and we'd all hook them up to the router. We'd have like in our living room, we'd have somewhere between like 4 and 8 setups in our living room. Yep. Clearing stuff off the counters and like we're making room for people. We have like a whole room full of these Halo kids and we're all just playing on LAN all day for like 12 hours. And we're just playing like custom game modes or Team Slayer or whatever, free for all, shoddy snipers. And one of my friends, well, a couple of my friends would say things like, I would hit these like crazy flicks with like the sniper. And like, I would always go for sniper. Like that was my gun. Like if I was playing, I'm always going for it. And like most of the time my team would let me get it. And I would get some crazy clips sometimes. And people were just like, I remember, you know, you kind of like talk trash with your boys. Like, you know, especially when you're all landing and playing and stuff, you can literally just stand up and like talk crap to the guy sitting right behind you and stuff. And so I just remember there was a lot of times where you just like, bro, there's literally no way he's hitting these on purpose. Like these are just lucky shots. Like he is getting lucky every time. Like there's literally no way he's spinning around and sniping me like that. And he's getting so frustrated. And so when I made my Twitch account, I was like, what's my name going to be? And so I originally it was Lucky Shots All Day was my name.
Nice.
And then I went to my first like PAX event. You know what PAX is? It's a Penny Arcade Expo.
Okay. Yeah.
So I went to that, my first one in like, I think in like 2017, and there was a panel, it was like streaming 101. I was still really little and I was like trying to learn and they had some big creators there. And I remember asking him afterwards, like, you know, my name's Lucky Shots All Day. Like, do you have any, like, what is like some tips or whatever? Just like the stuff that you still see from people now.
Yeah.
And he's like, first thing you gotta do, your name has to be shorter. It's way too long. And he's like, it's so hard to market that. Like Lucky Shots All Day, like that doesn't fit on like a t-shirt well. That doesn't like the branding, it's super long. If you tell somebody, oh, come over to my Twitch, it's twitch.tv/Lucky Shots All Day. Like that's so much. He's like,
good point.
Just do Lucky Shots. And so when I got home, I was like, I'm going to take his advice. I'm just going to do that. And I cut the rest of it off and then that's it. I've just been Lucky Shots since then. So there's always memes and stuff in chat where it's like, you know, you might say that was a lucky shot.
I'm sure. Yeah. Infinite number of memes right there.
Yeah, exactly. And so honestly, I guess I'm an idiot for not making some kind of like lucky shot compilation of lucky shots. I'm probably slipping on that. But yeah, so that's just been my name ever since. Obviously, I would love to just get the name Lucky. Like that would be super cool. Mm. But to get that on all the socials and stuff is like impossible. I think the Lucky grocery store or something has it on Twitter and you're never going to get it from them.
That makes sense.
Literally no way. So, yep. So that's like, I guess that's kind of like how I got to where I'm at now. And I love it. Honestly, it can be stressful sometimes, but I mean, it's better than working for somebody else, I guess.
Very true. So I have one more question before I hand over the reins to Chris, because he's the true real gamer on this this team here, and I know he has a million questions for you. But the other question I had too that I need to get out is, so did you have the parents where they were like, oh my gosh, stop playing video games, this is going to lead to nowhere, and then here you are? Or was it the complete opposite?
So growing up, it was just me and my mom and my sister, but my dad wasn't in the picture. But it was more so with my mom, she would be okay with me gaming. But when I was growing up, like I had my setup and I'm in my room with my stuff, but it was all offline. And so then online started to become more prominent with like, I remember getting like an Xbox. It was actually really cool because we didn't have a lot of money when I was growing up, and the new Xbox was coming out. And as a kid that loves to play games, you know, I was playing on like GameCube and
the days
before. Right.
Yeah.
And I had those consoles and I had a PS2 for a little bit. And like the new Xbox is coming out and I'm begging my mom, can we please get this Xbox? Like I will, you know, as a kid, I will do anything. Like I'll mow the yard every single weekend. I'll do, you know, ABC. Can we please get it? My mom was like pretty straightforward with me. Like, I don't have the money to buy you an Xbox. Like if you want it, you're going to have to go and wash cars and mow yards and do yard work and save up the money yourself if you want to get one, because I can't buy that for you. And then I remember I came home from school one day and there's an Xbox sitting on the table, and I'm like, I'm so confused. And my mom told me that she had gone and got Taco Bell for lunch, and we won the Xbox. Like giveaway. They gave one Xbox away at every Taco Bell nationwide. And we won the one for our town.
Oh my God. So
I remember like, I think I was so happy I could cry, but I was freaking out. It came with games, two controllers, the Xbox. It was nuts. And wow. So I got super lucky and I got an Xbox. You know, I don't know, man. And so obviously then I started getting more into it. Halo was like that gateway game for me for like competitive games. I started playing Halo and I started loving it. And so on the weekends, we had, you know, really crappy dial-up internet where it's like you can't use the phone and stuff. And like really bad internet. But my mom would let me, she told me on the weekends you can play online, but only until I need the computer. And then I'm taking the internet, is what she would say. And so I'd get up as early as I possibly could on Saturday morning, like 4:30 in the morning. I'm sneaking out of my room, taking all my stuff to the living room so I could play online. My mom was always really cool. As long as like my grades were doing good, I wasn't getting in trouble at school, she'd be fine with me playing games with my friends on the weekends. And we'd take turns. Like we're all at my house this weekend. Next weekend, we're all at the other person's house. And it'd be like, those parents would feed us. And then next weekend it'd go to a different house and they'd feed us. And so I mean, that was my weekends, man. I would just game. I would play games with my friends and we'd have sleepovers and stay up all night and just carry all of our stuff to the next person's house. And like, my mom was fine with it as long as I was getting good grades and stuff. She wasn't, and I'm thankful for that, because if she had been one of those parents that didn't let me game, I mean, I might be in like a completely different place now because I didn't grow up gaming, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you played Halo. When did you transition out of it?
So Halo 5 was, was like the game. I really liked Halo 5, but there was a certain point where it felt like we were still playing the same game. Like we weren't getting anything new. We weren't getting new maps. It felt like it was at that time that you could kind of tell that they were working on other things and they had kind of put it on the back burner. And people started transitioning out of Halo. They were playing other games. They're getting into like, you know, I can't say specifically what games, but at that time, like people were less about Halo and they started playing other stuff, and everybody sort of kind of started moving away. And so at that time I was still playing on Xbox and stuff, but I was like, maybe I want to learn how to play like I was saving this for this question actually, because you mentioned this earlier, but I was like, I want to start learning how to play computer games, because I hadn't played anything on mouse and keyboard really. Like I played Diablo and like some StarCraft, but nothing that was like a competitive, like required me to have super fast reactions against other players, like on mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. And the game that I learned how to play competitively on mouse and keyboard was actually League of Legends.
Yeah, okay.
And I played it for a long time. And that was actually the game that kind of took me away from Halo a little bit. And I started playing that, and we would all hang out. We would play that instead of having our weekend sessions and playing Halo. Now we were all hopping online and we're playing five man on League.
Yeah. And
I was around for a really long time. I think I stopped playing like right after NAR came out. That was like the last time. That's like the last time I played it. I played Vlad top lane, or like, I don't know, like at Vayne bottom lane sometimes.
Yep. But
I would play League. And then there's just a day where I was playing and it felt like every single game I was just getting roasted by people being not like I was like losing games, but it was more how toxic the community was on my team. And it was like every game, like I get into another game with a completely different set of people, and every single one of them, it was just terrible people. Like,
yeah, super toxic. Like,
so toxic. And when I was over that. And so that's when I was like, well, I want to go back to shooters. What can I like learn how to play on mouse and keyboard? And so the first shooter that I really learned how to play on mouse and keyboard was PUBG. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I got into the Battle Royale. This was like through PUBG. And I was addicted to that game. I could not stop playing it. And I was playing it on stream, and actually went to, I've been to like every PUBG party that they've had at like E3 or PAX. And like still to this day, I have my, this like PUBG, it's like a insulated water bottle. And I use this like every day. It's like, they gave us merch, and PUBG was big for me. Like I love that game. And then the cheaters kind of ruined it. Mm-hmm. Which is how I feel about Warzone.
Yeah.
It's like it became unplayable. So, but yeah, League of Legends, man, it was like a game changer for me. Like I'd never experienced a game like that. And so learning it on mouse and keyboard, and people are good on that game. Yeah. They're nuts.
It's definitely a gateway to like, it's a good way to transition. Like one, if you don't like World of Warcraft, you can shift to, cause World of Warcraft is just walking around clicking on stuff. And then League get you that true, you have to know what you're clicking, you have to have good like fingers on there, and then you just upset
so many World of Warcraft players.
Yeah,
any World of Warcraft players listening is like, yeah, you just doesn't really take any skill, you just click on yeah. Like, all of them listen to the podcast, it's like downvote.
So, yeah, we just got all the downvotes and all the one stars unsubs. Thanks so much, Chris.
I mean,
your confidence, you know, WoW is just like, you're not even doing anything really in that game.
So I feel, I'm not hating. I actually like WoW, but I got to a point when I was playing where everything was just a macro, and it's like, okay, as long as you have these three macros set up, you're good to go. And I'm like, so what am I doing? Just clicking at this person, make sure I rotate through. So, I mean, yes, you do have to have good coordination and you have to learn a lot of stuff, but it is, to me, it's not a bad game. It's just a stepping stone for a lot of people to other games. I'll say
League is absolutely way harder than WoW. Like, League is, I mean, you've got to, it's the timing, the, you know, the CS, the team fights, the coordination. Like, it's, I mean, that there's a reason why it's like, I think it's still one of the highest paid competitive games.
Yes.
Like Dota and like League of Legends. So there's a reason for that. It's a hard game. And like, I remember, I couldn't get past gold when I did play.
It's so hard.
Yeah, and I'm getting frustrated too because I'm coming from a game where I would literally hit Onyx, you know, immediately, which is like the top rank. Like I would do that consistently, and it wouldn't be a problem. It wasn't like, am I gonna hit Onyx? It's like, how fast can I get to Onyx? And then I go over here, I'm like, I'm gold. I'm trying as hard as I can. I'm gold. Like I don't understand. I'm playing for hours. I'm learning. Like, I know every. I feel like I have so much knowledge like burned into my brain about League of like abilities and locations and all this stuff. And like, it just never go away from thousands of hours of freaking playing the game. And then I couldn't even get past gold. It's crazy.
So where the majority of my experience comes in for gaming isn't necessarily playing it as much, but as soon as DraftKings adopted betting on gaming, is when I really started diving into it more. So League was one that I have bet quite a bit of money on. And then Counter-Strike is another one. And that's actually a small niche because like everyone's like talking about NFL season coming around the corner, getting ready to get on DraftKings for that. I've been on DraftKings doing gaming drafting teams for years now, and that's been a whole lot of fun. So yeah, what's that?
Do you win a lot?
Oh yeah, I'm probably win like 70% of the time.
Dude, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. I think it's really neat to see that like companies are starting to pick up on that. Like, and you watch like a lot of Counter-Strike and stuff too.
Oh yeah, I probably watch more Counter-Strike than anything else right now.
That's cool. Yeah. Counter-Strike is one of those games that like, if I'm just swiping through TikTok or something, mm-hmm. or it like pops up, I'll watch it because like, I understand what's happening, but I'm like, I don't play the game. So, but then watching the plays is like really exciting. It's kind of how I feel about Valorant. Like, do you watch?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Valorant
stuff? It looks so dope.
Yeah. It's exciting to like watch people. They're playing like tournaments and they're in like a 1v3 and then they clutch it up and they win it. Cause
yeah.
you like know what that takes and stuff. And like, that's gotta be really hype too. When you're betting on somebody and you're like, oh man, this guy has to win this or like, I'm gonna lose money. And then for them to clutch it, that's gotta be like a rush. I'm gonna have to start betting on Valorant games. Just like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. I just started looking into Valorant a little bit more. I don't have quite the win streak on there as I do. I'm Counter-Strike more than anything. But you primarily play Apex, right?
Yeah. I do a ton of Apex. I went after PUBG, started getting like a lot of cheaters and stuff. I went to Fortnite for a while. I was still stuck in that. I mean, I'm still stuck in the battle royale thing. I went from PUBG to Fortnite. And then I went from Fortnite to Warzone. And that's whenever I was playing with my buddies that I told you I moved here with. We would just play Warzone all day, every day. And then on the weekends, when my one friend who wasn't full-time, whatever he was on, we would just be on all weekend, just grinding Warzone, playing it hours and hours and hours. And then the cheaters started to become a problem on Warzone. And that always kills it for me, man. On Warzone, it got to the point where it was so bad that you would probably die to a cheater 4 out of 5 games. Mm-hmm. It would be somebody that was hard aimbotting or they're walling. Like, you can just tell because they're watching people through the wall after they kill you. You can see that they're cheating, and the cheaters just killed it for me. And so then I went to Apex, and at first it was kind of rough. That game is pretty hard whenever you first start playing, and then I kind of fell in love with it. And now I have this whole community around Apex, and I guess I'm just waiting for the next battle royale that's going to take its place, I guess.
Nice.
So is your community so strong that they'll follow you from game to game, or is it kind of like you find that you're finding a new community each time you move to a different game?
So I think right now it's like 90% or 95% of my streams are Apex, and I've been enjoying other games off of stream. For a while, I was in especially on Mixer, because they allowed us to like, they kind of did the promotion for your channel for you, because you would go live with like Fortnite or something, and then you would pop up on the Xbox dashboard for everybody that was on Xbox, and they could just find your stream. And so I didn't need to do YouTube. I didn't need to do TikTok. I had like 200,000 followers on Mixer, and I would average anywhere from like 1 to 2 to 300 viewers. And I didn't have to do that. And so it kind of spoiled me. And I could play whatever, and I would get viewers. Then when I came to Twitch, I realized like I literally got babied by a Mixer, because I can't do that here. So now I feel like I'm kind of in like a niche as far as the stream goes. I've stopped streaming as long of hours. I was streaming 8 to 10, like every day, 8 to 10 hours. And now I stream from like 4 to 6. And then I can actually enjoy other games outside of my niche when I'm off stream. Like, I've been playing some Baldur's Gate. My girlfriend and I would play some Diablo. I can play other stuff whenever I'm, if there's an echo, I'm sorry. I think somebody was opening up the garage. It kind of echoes a little bit. Now I'm able to enjoy those off genre games when I'm not streaming. If I'm streaming and I play a different game, if it's a shooter, it will carry over pretty well. Like, I can start with Apex and be like, hey guys, we're going to move over to Fortnite. And like, some people will leave because there are a lot of people in my community that are just hardcore Apex players. They, mm. they only watch Apex, only play Apex. So when you switch, they're like, hey, it's fun playing today, fun hanging out, whatever. I'll see you in the next stream. I'm going to go and find somewhere else to play Apex, whatever. But if I switch to a shooter, people will stay. If I switch to something that's very off, like off brand or off genre, whatever, mm-hmm. I do find it that it's like, I'm probably going down like a lot with my viewership, because the people who play Apex will still stick around and watch other shooters because they like shooters. But if I switch over to World of Warcraft or League of Legends, I'm not like most of those people are going to like the super hardcore community members will hang out and they'll just be in there all the time. They don't care. But some of the like in the middle community members, they're going to like go and find more Apex to watch, you know? And then I think it's interesting that you asked me that, because that's something that I've been like thinking about recently, is how I want to start transitioning to playing a couple of different games on stream instead of just Apex all the time, mm-hmm. and then kind of grow my community in multiple areas. But that's really scary for like a lot of streamers. We'll tell you that that's kind of scary, because if you have like an off stream, it'll make you feel like you are like not growing, even though you're growing a different audience. And then you're worried, like, what if, like, you know, what if my viewers or my community don't come back because they don't think I'm playing Apex or something? And I think that's something that you have to just kind of come to terms with and like be okay with like slower streams at first for whatever game you're switching to, and then just slowly build it up like you did with your original content, you know?
Right. That makes sense.
So I got a couple questions now. One, what do you play when you're on Apex? Like, which character are you using most?
So I'm a Bangalore main. That's like my primary legend is Bangalore. There's like a lot of like debate about like mouse and keyboard versus like controller and stuff like that. And then Bangalore kind of disrupts the controller gameplay a little bit because of aim assist and everything. So it's when you're playing on like mouse and keyboard, that doesn't really happen. So it's kind of cool to like have that effect on the lobby sometimes, or like in the team fights. And Bangalore is like a little bit more aggressive with like her passive and stuff. So I really enjoy that character, and it's really just been her or like, I don't know how much Apex you watch, but they recently redid Revenant. And so we got like a whole new one.
He's really fun.
Yeah. He's really fun now. So I've been playing him a little bit this season. I play Bangalore, and then once in a while I'll play Ballistic, but I used to play a lot of Watson and stuff, but man, it feels like, so I host like a lot of like custom lobbies and stuff, and then my community will all come and play. That's what we were doing today before the podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
People in the lobby. Yeah. It's like doing games with your community, but instead of getting like two people in at a time, I'm getting 58, 59 people. And so we all just hang out, we play customs, and I do like a little bit of like shoutcasting and stuff like that. But it seems like Horizon is everywhere. Seems like everybody's just playing Horizon when we're in customs. Like, every team has one. They're everywhere. Just driving me crazy, man. They're everywhere. You do play sometimes, or like, who do you play?
So I just watch. Switching, doing mouse and keyboard, like first person shooters is not my thing, just because I'm just coordinated enough, but not good enough to sit there and like actually do anything productive for my team. So I'll just watch.
That's cool though. I mean, like, that's kind of like with the Valorant thing, like I was saying, like, I don't even play Valorant, but if I'm swiping through like TikTok or something and something pops up, like an ace or something, I'll watch it. Cause I'm like, this is exciting. This is fun to watch. And I can't do this. So I enjoy watching like the pros play and stuff. It's cool.
I like it. So because we've talked a little bit about your games that you're playing and kind of like transitioning to do Kick and Twitch and kind of growing your channel, what does success look like for you?
So do you mean like, how do I feel that I'm succeeding right now, or what would success in the future look like?
Success in the future.
I think for me, I want to continue to like grow the community and everything that I have, and keep doing Apex as long as it's relevant and fun and still having a good time. But for me, I think success would be kind of like what you were talking about earlier, the ability to swap to any game and be one of those variety streamers that can switch to any game on any day. You can go live and say, today we're playing this game, and your community will show up and be a part of that without feeling like they want something, like they want to be, like, you know, right now we do a lot of customs, and so a lot of people get to play at the same time. But if I were to swap and start playing something else, you know, that might not be the case. And so I think being able to stream whatever you want, whenever you want, I think that's something that you have to earn as a streamer. And I think a lot of people view it as something that they want to be able to do. But I think you earn that over time by building your community and like earning their trust. And then eventually you get to that point where you can just play any game. So for me, I think success is being able to just go live and retain your community and your viewership, no matter what you're playing, and still have them in there. Cause I don't want to like worry about, you know, when Apex isn't around anymore, like what's the channel look like at that point. But I also want to start really putting in some work on like YouTube, and I want to try, even if it doesn't start until, you know, after TwitchCon in October or something, like it starts at the end of the year. I really want to try to like set my sights on, you know, 50K on YouTube next year or something like that. Nice. And really start to dive into long form content and like just get to a point where it feels like I'm making an impact on like different platforms and not just like live stream Apex. Like I want to like impact and like help make people's days better on all the platforms, regardless of the game, and obviously still make money to be able to do that, you know? Yeah. So I don't have to like stop streaming or something.
Right. So I have two more questions definitely for you. And so the first question I would have is, I have a couple friends that are kind of in that spot that you talked about way back in the beginning, where getting between 5 to 15 views getting onto Twitch. So if you were to give them one or two pointers or tips to grow the community that they have, what would that be?
I think this is like a very, I think this is a really, it's a really good question, but I don't think the answer is what a lot of people want to hear. They want you to ask that question, and then they want me to give some magic, right? Some super top secret partner response that's going to solve everything tomorrow. And I think the truth is, to grow, especially on Twitch right now, the trick to growing is to streaming less. And it sounds super like counterintuitive, because a lot of these people who are stuck in the 5 to 10 range, they're probably doing what I did, where they have their full-time job and they have families and friends and things that people want them to go and do on the weekends. And then they're like, okay, I can stream these 5 days. And on these 3 days, I can stream for like 3 hours. And on these 2 days on my weekend, I can stream for 8 hours each day. Okay, cool. Now I'm getting in like almost 30 hours for the week. Okay, that's a super solid schedule. And it sounds like a good schedule because you're streaming more. But if more, especially with the way like Twitch is different than it used to be before, if you just streamed all day, every day, you probably would grow. And like you would eventually like just start pulling people in because less people streamed. But since COVID, a lot of people picked it up because it was all they could do is stream or watch streams or be at home. Mm-hmm. And so now tons of people stream. There's a bunch of people who stream to 1 to 5 viewers, which is fine. Like we all started at zero. I started at zero. And they think that they saw all these other people who just streamed 50, 60, 70 hours a week, whatever, and they grew. They're like, that's what I got to do. I got to do as close to that as possible. And I think right now, if I was starting brand new, truthfully, I probably wouldn't stream on Twitch. If I was brand new and I was starting up, I would probably stream. I'd probably multi-stream to Kick and YouTube at the same time. Or I would stream to Kick, YouTube, and Twitch and not take Twitch's affiliate program and not take subs there at all. That way you could expand your reach. But if you were just going to pick one platform and you wanted it to be Twitch, then I think you pick 3 or 4 days out of the week. You stream for 3 to 4 hours on each of those days. And then whatever time is left, like if like the example I gave earlier, 2 8s and 3 3s, mm-hmm. instead make it 4 4 or like 3 3s and a 4. And then all that other time that you have, you just take that and you record content. You make videos on TikTok. You make content on YouTube. You figure out something that's niche within your series, or like a series within your niche. That's what I meant. And you figure out, okay, what's something I could do that I can make 10 videos about for this game that I really love? Like, you know, say you love Valorant, right? Mm-hmm. What's something I could do that, like, I know Valorant like the back of my hand. I fucking play it all the time. I'm nuts at this game. What can I do? Well, instead of streaming high level ranked to 5 viewers, what if you started a series that was top 5 tricks for X character on X map in ranked? Okay, so now I have episode 1. Now I'm going to do the exact same thing with that same character because I main that character, and I'm going to give you 5 tips with this character on this other map. Now you have 2 videos. You have in-depth videos that you can do for YouTube that are long, and then you can chop it up into clips and you can make it TikTok content. And then you start growing, and then now you have 5,000 people that follow you on TikTok, and you can go live on TikTok. So then you go live on TikTok. You say, hey guys, like, Radiant. I'm Radiant on Valorant, right? I'm live on Twitch right now. You guys should come and hang out with me. They leave TikTok. They come over to your Twitch. Now you're streaming to 20 or 30 people because you stopped streaming to 5 people and you started making content that people cared about on TikTok. And now they actually care. Like, that's the thing, is like, people think that they go live for a long time and then they're streaming to 5 people. They're like, I'm going to stream for a long time. And eventually I'm going to blow up. But like, A, you're not going to blow up because people don't know you exist. And B, you're not going to blow up because right now, truthfully, people don't care about you. You haven't given them a reason to care about you over, why should I watch you instead of Shroud? Like, right. I'll just go watch Shroud play Valorant. Give me a reason to care about you over Shroud. You start making content. They start liking what you're doing. They like your jokes in your videos, or they like your personality. Like, hey, I kind of like this dude. Then, oh, they're swiping through TikTok. They watch your video. They like it. The next time they swipe, oh, he's live right now. They click on the live. They come check you out. They like your vibe. Now you have somebody who comes back every day. Like, you have to give people a reason to care that you're live streaming. Truthfully, everybody's live streaming. Like, what makes you unique? You know? So, like, yeah, back to it. If you're streaming to 5 viewers, you might, truthfully, you might be streaming too much. Like, you just need to stream less.
That's genius. Yeah. To your point too, there's some people out there that they wanted that like magic bullet overnight, but guess what? That doesn't exist. So the exact game plan that you gave, if someone really wants to grow, if you follow that game plan, I find it very hard to believe that you won't grow by following that game plan. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I want, like, that's like kind of going back to what I said before, like making an impact. Like, a lot of people say that, but my favorite moments that I can like remember from like stream isn't like the crazy, crazy clutch win or the crazy victory. It's more like when somebody comes in and they're like, hey, like I just want to let you know, like, they come in, they drop like 10 subs and they're like, hey, I just want to let you know that like over the summer, like, you know, I broke my leg and I couldn't do anything. I don't really talk in your chat, but your streams like help me get through that.
Wow.
That's what drives me. Like, that's the best feeling. It's like knowing that like the content you made or what you were doing on stream or whatever, like, actually made somebody's life like better. Cause they might not have anybody, right? Like, maybe they live alone, their friends moved away. Like, and so like your stream actually like made their life better by like being there every day, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's what it's about.
That's really cool. So I guess we are coming up on an hour pretty darn close here now. So my last question for you would be, if you could tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
I don't know if anybody's asked me that. I could tell my younger self anything. I think it would be like completely unrelated to games. I think it would be like, really value the time you have with your family and your friends, because you never really know when it might be that last moment or that last time with your family or friends. And like, I think when you're younger, things are going by really fast and time is time is going by really fast. You're really excited for summer. Then you're really excited for winter break. And then you're excited for vacation and the next game. And like, things are going really fast. And then like, next thing you know, you're all grown up and like friends and family like pass away and like, can never really go back and get that time. Mm-hmm. So I think valuing your time, even though as a kid, you're like, man, I don't want to go do this family get together thing. Right. Mm-hmm. But later you may not have the option to, and you take advantage of that. So I think you should value that.
I love that. I don't think we've ever had that answer before.
No,
that's fantastic. Thank you.
I actually wanted to ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
And like what you asked me is I want to know from your point of view, what does success look like for you guys?
Well, Chris, you're the one that came up with that question first, so I'll let you take it first.
So for me, I think success with the podcast would be to just grow and reach more people in general and then pretty much expand the studio. So we would end up eventually having like two areas to record. So like just a sit down, like comfy spot, and then one sitting at a table, just kind of figuring out the vibe and just kind of growing like our setup and everything.
Yep.
Yeah, I probably agree. Like podcast wise, the reason why we started a lot of this podcast was for networking and building a network and building a community and helping kind of bring people together more within Wilmington. Wilmington's a really small area and people know of each other a lot in Wilmington, but a lot of people don't really know each other. And so that's kind of where we started this kind of groundbreaking thing, which is like, all right, let's focus on Southeast North Carolina. And we've done a really good job at that. And I think kind of working with you now too, and doing a first one outside of North Carolina, we can really start doing that just because the world has become such a smaller place only because there is Riverside, there is Zoom, there is Twitch that can bring people together. So I think this was the first time that really I noticed that, you know what, why are we focusing so small when the world is already so small itself? So that kind of went to a bigger portion of like what success is outside of that question. Yeah. But I think that kind of is what success looks like for me.
Yeah, I think I watch a lot of clips from like a lot of different podcasts and stuff. And I feel like you guys have like this like good energy and like this really great vibe. And so I think that you guys are definitely where you're supposed to be. And like, as far as like podcasting, like you guys are like definitely good for this. And
thanks.
I think you guys have like a lot of success in your future coming your way. And I'm excited to see what you guys do next. And like, I'm definitely going to go and like subscribe to everything everywhere. And I expect to see you guys on TikTok and like posting your clips and stuff. And I, you know, getting Sway to do that for you guys. Yeah. I think you guys would really succeed on there. And I was just, honestly, this has been great. I'm really thankful you guys invited me on here. Like, I've been having a good time.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much. And again, shout out to Sway for setting this up for us too, for getting us both together. Absolutely. And I foresee this partnership going further with you as well. And I'm sure we'll have you back on the podcast and hopefully work with you more soon.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I would love that.
So my question, where can people find you? Because you said you're on pretty much all the social medias, but what's the easiest way to look you up so they could follow and keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah. Anybody who just, I mean, even if you don't play Apex or you don't play shooters or whatever, like we have, you know, a lot of people probably say this, but I feel like we have one of the best communities on the whole platform. Everybody's great. A lot of people have made a ton of friends just from being in chat with our community and stuff. So if you're ever on Twitch, you can find me at Lucky Shots, all one word. I'm the same name on Kick. I'm on Twitch Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I'm on Kick Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And then Twitter, Lucky Shots MIX. I just haven't changed it from the whole Mixer thing. I was just like kind of left it as a meme for a little bit. And now I feel like it's been too long. So once at Lucky Shots becomes available on Twitter, I'll try and snag it up. But until then, yep, Lucky Shots MIX. And I mean, that's about it. I don't really do a lot on Instagram. So I feel like this is where I would say, like, go check out my pictures, but I haven't posted in like 6 months. So don't do that.
But yeah, thank you for coming on. It's been a blast. Everybody who's listened to the podcast, check him out on all of his social medias for those who stream or who just like watching people stream like me. Definitely check his stuff out. I was bored this afternoon. I was like, you know what? Let me go check something different because I'm always watching like whatever's showing up on TV. He really does have a really good setup and community. They're all super chill. I love his overlays.
Yeah.
Totally different. But yeah.
Thanks, man.
Definitely, if you're listening to our podcast, leave us a 5-star review on all the things. Instagram, follow us. We post pretty much weekly, if not daily.
Close to daily.
Pretty much because Tyler's always posting something and Sway is helping us post more stuff. So yeah, 5-star reviews definitely help us out. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and hopefully we'll see you guys in the next one.
Thank you so much again, Lucky. Well, I'm sure we'll see you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
Yes, thanks. Cheers.
Cheers.